In just a moment, enjoy Best Plays. But first, they invented radio, developed color TV, and are responsible for two-dimension motion pictures for nervous people who faint from fright in three-dimension movies. Who are they? Why, Bob and Ray, of course. And every weekday night, you'll enjoy their antics over these stations. The boys join such other great weekday shows as Bob Hope, Dave Garraway, One Man's Family, and NBC's award-winning News of the World. Yes, each weekday, NBC brings you the best in music, comedy, drama, and news. Now it's Best Plays on NBC.
From New York, where the American stage begins, NBC presents Best Plays, transcribed with John Chapman. Best Plays, a series of hour-length dramas selected from the outstanding successes of the New York stage. Now, John Chapman, drama critic of the New York Daily News, is here to introduce Sir Cedric Hardwick in The Amazing Dr. Clitterhouse by Barry Lyndon. Mr. Chapman.
Thank you. Welcome, friends and listeners, to another session of our Theater in the Ear. 2 weeks ago, our best play was an English drama about Napoleon, St. Helena. The same year that this piece was done on Broadway, we had another interesting import from London, a melodrama by Barry Lyndon titled The Amazing Dr. Clitterhouse. And in the title role, we had an imported English actor, Sir Cedric Hardwick. Sir Cedric had come to us once before, but it was his Dr. Clitterhouse which made us sit up and take notice of him. Since then, we have practically taken peaceful possession of the man. Hardwick is known for his very many smooth roles in the movies and for his many contributions to the New York stage, not only as an actor, but also as a producer and director. He was a calm and witty Caesar to Lily Palmer's beautiful and feline Cleopatra in Shaw's Caesar and Cleopatra. As a matter of fact, Hardwick, I think, was Shaw's favorite actor and Shaw's favorite director of Shaw plays. Cedric was even more calm and witty as the statue in Don Juan in Hell. One time in Hollywood, I was chatting about acting with Sir Cedric, and I commented on his uncanny knack of riveting an audience's attention upon himself by standing still. Most actors think they can hold or steal a scene by fluttering about or catching flies, as they say in the theater. But the Hardwick method is much more effective and much more legitimate. I told him, the only other actor I ever saw with your complete poise was Sacha Guitry in Paris. Cedric looked at me with a deadpan and a twinkle in his eye, and he said, I learned it from Sacha, old boy. Our best play now is the thriller, The Amazing Dr. Clitterhouse. Dr. Clitterhouse is a London physician, but his consulting room is not in the traditional Harley Street or the Baker Street, which was frequented and still is haunted by a doctor named Watson. Our man conducts his practice in the neighborhood of St. John's Wood. Here and elsewhere in London, we shall meet him and a number of other interesting characters, an inspector from Scotland Yard, of course, and a devilish fellow named Benny Kellerman. Our opening scene is the consulting room of Dr. Clitterhouse. It is 1 o'clock in the morning, but in the consulting room, the lights are still on, and Nurse Anne is, for the fourth time, heating the pot of coffee she has brewed hours before. Now, why should Nurse Anne be heating coffee and staying up this late? She's in love with Dr. Clitterhouse, but of course, he doesn't know it. Dr. Clitterhouse comes in, apparently in great haste, somewhat breathless, but he stops short when he sees Nurse Anne.
Hello, Nurse. Waiting up for me?
Well, I wondered what had happened to you, Doctor.
Well, I... I was held up.
I have coffee here.
Very thoughtful. Let it go for the moment. Help me with this, will you?
Doctor, are you going to do a blood pressure?
I am.
At 1 a.m?
At 1 a.m.
Not your own?
Yes. Here, you work the ball.
Well, there's nothing to worry about there.
No, there isn't, is there? Well, it was up before I went out. Oh, well.
Was that an experiment of some sort?
Well, one could call it that.
Coffee?
Thanks.
Oh, Doctor, you've picked up some paint from somewhere. Look at your jacket.
What?
I'll get it off with some ether.
Very awkward. Have to be more careful in the future.
Doctor, this can't be your bag.
Don't touch that. Now, who gave you leave to touch that bag?
I'm sorry. I thought the ether would be in here.
Of course, naturally, I beg your pardon, nurse. Well, now that you've seen what's in the bag, what do you think of them?
Well, they're beautiful, aren't they? These pearls in particular.
I suppose they are.
And this brooch.
Nurse?
Yes, Doctor?
At the moment, we're being strictly professional. I didn't mean you to see this at all. It's very confidential.
Well, I don't quite understand, but of course you can trust me, Doctor.
Well, that's very fortunate, because you see, all this is stolen.
Stolen?
With my own hands, nurse. Look at them, by the way, my hands, I mean. Not a tremor. Oh, that's pretty good, you know.
Doctor, you don't really mean that you've stolen these things.
They are the proceeds of my fourth burglary.
Impossible.
At Cranston Lodge, the Andersons' house.
And I suppose you got the paint on your jacket while you were breaking in.
That's right.
Oh, really, Doctor?
Yeah, get this paint off, will you?
All right. I suppose you have to guard against little clues like this.
Yes, I left my hat behind at my third burglary and had to go back for it. That was at Lady Challing's.
Oh, yes. I read about that. And so apparently did you, Doctor. The burglars got in from the garage roof.
I got in, you mean? I borrowed the gardener's ladder and forced a landing window with a table knife. I picked the lock with a bit of wire and forced the drawer with a tire lever. Paint off yet?
It's off, Doctor.
Ah. It's off apparently just in time. See you at the door, will you?
Certainly.
Good evening, nurse.
Why? It's Inspector Charles.
Good evening, Doctor. I saw a light in the hall, so thought I'd ring the bell.
Oh, come in, Charlie, come in. Well, you're a long way from the yard, aren't you?
I'm a long way from my bed, Cliff. Who's in charge of the coffee around here?
I'll get you some, Inspector.
What are you doing over here, Charlie? Or is it a secret?
I'm supposed to be inquiring into that little bit of nocturnal thieving at Lady Challenger's.
Lady Challenger's?
The third burglary, nurse.
That's right. The third burglary around here in a fort. How did you know?
Oh, inside information, old boy.
Oh, of course. Newspapers.
What are you doing about it?
I told you, just hanging around. You see, we know those three jobs were done by the same man.
How do you know?
Oh, by the style, as it were. I'm really just waiting for him to do a fourth. And then we'll probably get him. Constable knows where to reach me.
Are you expecting another burglary tonight?
In a way. The first three were done at 4-day intervals. He'll do another soon. Not that he'll be easy to net.
You mean he's clever?
I'll tell you how clever.
Milk and sugar, Inspector?
No, thanks, my dear. I'll take it black. On Lady Challenger's job, this man took a ladder which the gardener had left under the hedge and got onto the garage roof with it. Then he forced a landing window with a table knife. We know that by the marks. He picked the lock on the library door and forced the desk with something thin.
A tire lever, perhaps?
Very likely.
A table knife and a tire lever. Smart, you know.
Smart. The fellow's an absolute amateur.
Amateur? Now, look here.
He climbed ladders and roofs, crept through the house, and picked the lock. But the library window, the very room he wanted to get into, was undone all the time.
What? It was?
Would you have said he was An inexperienced burglar, Inspector?
Oh, a raw amateur.
Has this burglar taken very much, Inspector?
Oh, quite a bit.
Lady Channing had a diamond necklace. A thing like a dog collar. He got that. She says it's worth £2,000.
Is it?
No.
Oh, I suppose not. Tell me, Charlie, how do these burglars get rid of their swag?
Oh, break it up. Or use a fence.
Fence? Receiver, you mean?
Yes, but this fellow had better not try that. A fence won't take chances with anyone he doesn't know.
Are they all like that?
Pretty much so.
Well, who would you call a good fence?
Oh, they're all bad. There'd be no stealing without them. There's nothing smart about any of them. Except perhaps one fellow.
Who's that?
A chap called Kellerman. Benny Kellerman.
Kellerman?
Oh, he's behind a lot of stealing. You understand this is between ourselves, Cliff?
Of course, yes. And we can trust Nurse Anne, can't we, Nurse?
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, Doctor.
Yes, we've been after Kellerman time and again, but he's a leery bird.
He is, eh?
Yes, he used to be a working jeweler and watchmaker, then he got into trouble.
Now he runs one of those little clubs.
Oh, as you told me about him. Is his in the East End?
No, off Theobald Road.
Hello? Yes, he's here. It's for you, Inspector Charles.
Thank you. Hello? Yes, Constable. What? Yes, at once. Goodbye. What did I tell you?
Not your amateur burglar again.
You're right. Cranston Lodge, Councillor Anderson's place.
Anderson's place?
Yes, well, thanks for giving me shelter. I'll have to be off now.
Well, so long, Charlie.
Good night, Doctor.
So, there has been a burglary at Anderson's house.
And you've seen the proceeds.
But you can't be the inspector's burglar.
Well, I should be if you caught me. I wish we could have taken my blood pressure when he walked in here.
Do you mean that you've really and truly stolen those things?
4 burglaries within a fortnight, and he calls me an amateur.
4 burglaries? Doctor, you can't realize what you're doing.
I think I have a pretty good idea, Nurse.
But you can't have. Why could you possibly want that jewelry? And, Doctor, if you were caught...
Yes, that would be awkward, wouldn't it?
It would be terrible.
You know, I have a very good reason for all this.
Is there a good reason for burglary? For stealing?
In this case, there is, Nurse. You know, I believe I'm onto something that's very much worthwhile. You stumbled onto part of my secret. Well, you better know all of it.
I think I'd better, Doctor.
I'll admit that part of it is that I've grown rather tired of all this business of... Well, how are you today? Worse, thank you, Doctor.
But you've a wonderful practice.
Yes, what I'm onto is much more important than my practice.
You see, knowing old Charlie, I've grown rather interested in crime and crooks.
Evidently.
Yes, sarcasm doesn't become you, Nurse.
Sorry. Are you experimenting about crooks?
I'll hang it all, I'm being one. Nurse, has it ever occurred to you to wonder why criminal activity should actually change a man's face and physique? Gradually change someone who was once quite normal into something furtive and cringing. It does, you know, in time.
I'm afraid I've never thought of anything like that.
Now, there are medical reasons for these changes. They affect the mentality of the crook and influence his actions. They're the result of the fear and excitement and the tense emotions which he works under. And I want to find out the precise nature of these reactions, and I can do it only by studying crooks whilst they are actually at work. Not after Charlie has stuck them away behind bars. It's research, and I needed a living subject. So I started experiments on myself. I observed my reactions, pulse, respiration, blood pressure. I've had to explain this to you, Nurse, but it needn't concern you, and it won't affect our work here.
You think it won't? I don't like it.
Well, if I've upset you, Nurse, I'm sorry, but I must go on with it.
Is it possible that you have it all in the wrong perspective?
Are you hinting that I've gone slightly mental?
Well, you have been overworking.
Nurse, I know precisely what I'm doing. It's simply research work in a slightly unusual form.
A very unusual form, Doctor.
Well, if you think that, you'd better go home to bed.
Yes, Doctor. I hope I haven't annoyed you.
Humoring the mental patient, Nurse?
Well, I do feel a little concerned.
Oh, don't you worry about me. I'm quite all right. Good night.
Good night, Doctor.
Oh, Nurse... Just one thing.
Yes, Doctor?
Were you thinking of telephoning Sir James Hillary in the morning?
Telephoning Sir James? Why?
You were, weren't you?
What makes you think that?
Well, we called him in when old Trimmer began to see things the wrong way. Don't do it, Nurse.
But I feel that someone
you
should...
You said that I could trust you. This is a professional matter and very confidential.
Yes, Doctor.
And if this jewelry worries you, I'll be getting rid of it. I'm calling on Benny Kellerman tomorrow. Good night, nurse.
Good night, Doctor.
I'll have another ale, Kellerman.
All right, Okie.
Me too, Kellerman. Hey, want one, Daisy?
Well, I don't mind if I do, pal.
What's that?
It's coppers.
Coppers don't knock like that.
Whether it's coppers or not, we can't let them see Okie.
That's right, Kellerman. I've got to hide.
Quick, in here, Okie.
Gotcha.
All right, Daisy and pal. Mum's the word.
Okay.
Well?
I'm looking for Mr. Benny Kellerman.
It's me.
Fine. Well, I can't talk to you from outside here.
Who sent you?
Inspector Charles of Scotland Yard.
A copper.
Keep quiet, pal.
A copper, are you? Come on in, then.
Thank you. But the fact is, I am not a policeman.
Then what do you want?
I want to do a little business with you. But, it's confidential.
Tell him he's butting in, Benny.
The only business I've got is running this place.
Inspector Charles seems to think you have other interests.
Well, I haven't.
Sorry. Well, let's have a drink, shall we? Young lady?
Don't mind if I do. Martini dry.
And you, sir?
Well, if it's free, mine's a beer.
Two dry martinis and a beer, Mr. Kellerman.
Well, all right.
Mr. Kellerman, is it all right to discuss confidential business with others present?
Oh, don't you mind us.
What do you want?
Well, I understand that at times you want to take to dispose of, shall we say, articles of jewelry.
Benny, don't buy from strangers.
Benny, don't buy at all.
I see that I'll have to convince you. Well, let me put it this way, old boy. I'm not a narc, and I'm not coming the old soldier. I've got a daffy of sparklers, and I want to flash them.
Well, I'll never.
Hey, you've got the patter all right.
He might have got it out of a book.
Mr. Kellerman, you've read about the burglary at Councillor Anderson's. What would you give for the pearl necklace?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, show him the stuff, mate.
Well, do you think I carried about with me?
Open up there!
This is the cops this time.
Stand away from the bar. Look natural.
Well, Kellerman.
Hello, Sergeant.
Now, who have you got here? Daisy? Pearl Green? And who is that?
A friend of mine.
Oh, thank you, Daisy.
Where's Bob Oakes?
Who?
You heard Oakey's been here.
Not tonight, Sergeant.
Where did you see him last?
3 or 4 days ago.
Have you seen him, pal?
Me, Sergeant? No.
What do you want him for?
Oh, would I be likely to tell you?
Oh, he hasn't done nothing.
No? Something's been pulled off that was just his handwriting. If it wasn't him, he can come to the station and say so. If it was him, well, we'll pick him up anyway.
Well, what was the job, Sergeant?
It's jewelry. Stuff that's red hot. Understand me, Kellerman?
No, Sergeant.
You wouldn't, would you? But I'm telling you, it'll burn the fingers off anybody that touches it.
What is it?
Nearly £2,000 worth. Pearl necklace, diamond bracelet, brooches and rings. All very nice stuff.
Taken from St. John's Woodway, Sergeant?
How do you know that?
Well, I read the papers.
Oh, you do? Well, who are you?
Beg your pardon?
You heard. What's your name?
As a matter of that, what's yours?
Now, don't try to be funny with me. Come on, answer up. Who are you?
Who are you?
Sergeant Bates is my name.
Oh? You got your warrant card?
What do you mean?
You know perfectly well what I mean. Your warrant card will prove your bona fides. Have you got it?
Of course I have.
Then will you kindly produce it?
Yeah, what's your game?
Well, you come in here asking questions of everyone, and we've a right to know who you are.
Well, they know me here.
All the same, I should like to see your card.
Very well.
Thank you. Sergeant Augustus Bates.
What are you laughing at, pal?
Sorry, Inspector.
And then who are you?
Me?
You, yes.
What's that to do with you?
I asked you your name.
And I refuse to give it.
Now, don't you come that with me.
You've no shadow of a right in even requesting my name.
Haven't
no.
I? Have a good mind to pick you up.
On what ground?
Suspicion.
Then why don't you do it, Sergeant? If you've anything to be suspicious about.
Have you seen Oakey?
I don't even know him.
All right, then. I'm going now. But you keep a civil tongue in your head next time you speak to a police officer.
Sergeant Bates.
Yeah?
If this kind of impertinence is repeated, I shall take steps to bring it to the notice of your superiors at the yard. Good night.
Good night.
Go on.
Oh, blimey. Did you hear that? Take steps to bring it to the notice of your superiors.
Will you chuck the sergeant off?
He'll have it in for me after this.
Good on you, matey. He's a right un, Benny.
Well, you certainly got a nerve. What's your name?
Well, I wouldn't even tell a policeman that.
All right, Oakey. You can come out now.
How did you know he was in there?
I heard every word. That was a treat that was, mate.
Well, your beer I gave you away, Oakey. I could see it running out beneath the panel. Have another?
He's a right and ain't he, Oakey. Take steps to bring it to the notice of your superior. Oh, go, lovey, that was worth living for.
I'll try the same as you.
You never did that job, did you, Oakey?
No, not me. But I don't want to answer no questions tonight.
I'm afraid I owe you an apology, Oakey. I must have duplicated your excellent methods.
You did the job?
That and three others.
Working on your Jack Jones?
On my own? Yes?
Yeah, Oakey. You think he's all right?
Well, you've got to say about that, Kellerman.
Are you prepared to do business, Kellerman?
Where have you got the stuff?
With me.
You said you hadn't got it.
I beg your pardon. I asked if you thought I carried it with me. As a matter of fact, I do.
Blimey, look at that.
Stone, you're a knockout.
Are you back onto the sergeant with all that on you?
I assume, Kellerman, that we can do business after all.
I think we can.
I'd like to do some business with you myself.
Okay, it's an interesting suggestion, the one that I was about to make. I know you're experienced in this sort of work. How about Pell?
Try me.
And me.
Excellent. Just what I'd hoped for. I think this can be a most interesting group. I think, in short, gentlemen and Daisy, that we are in business together. Our health.
Benny? And what do you think of the flat?
I don't like it.
Don't like it, don't you? But those drapes, do you know how much they cost a yard? And that clock. And look at the furniture.
I don't like the idea of him setting you up in a flat.
Jealous?
I don't have to be jealous of him. When the time comes, I'll have him crawling to me.
Then you are jealous. Oh, Benny, honest. It's just like he said. This is a place for the gang to come to. This is where we make plans and split the swag.
And you live here and he pays the rent. He don't pay it on the proceeds of that one job we done, neither.
I tell you, he ain't touched me.
But you wouldn't mind if he did, would you? Would you?
As to that, he couldn't say, being a lady.
Come off it. All right, I bide my time. I'll watch and I'll wait. But I'll get him, whatever his name is. I'll get him in the end.
No, I'm not going to have it done.
He says you've got to have it done. He says it's important. He taught me how to do it, and he's the boss. So I'm going to do it.
I don't need no blood test. My blood's red the same as anybody else.
Well, we'll see if it is. Here now. Hold still.
Oh!
Blimey. He's fainted.
I can't understand it. One burglary after another, each one bigger than the last. It's a gang, there's no question about that. And some of the features of these cases seem to point to certain old friends of ours. But the planning, the execution, so clever, so daring. It indicates that the gang has a leader who never operated around here before. We got to catch that fellow. That's all there is to it. We've got to catch him.
Here's your share of the swag, okay?
Thank you.
Al and Daisy.
Sure.
Thanks, ever, sir.
All right. Now then, okay. Have you those blood pressure charts?
Here they are.
Fine. Now, next Tuesday, we're going off to the biggest haul yet, Furs. I've got a price from Kellerman, and there'll be £1,500 in it for each of you. We'll meet here at 8 Tuesday. Very interesting data on these charts.
Like you said.
Fine. Now we've got to carry them across from the roof of this building to the roof of the next one, then through the skylight and down to the street and load them into our van.
Here, mate. Help me with these boxes.
Quiet, pal.
Look, there's one thing I hope you've covered.
What is it?
Oh, I don't fancy carrying those boxes out onto the street down there. That street's patrolled, you know.
That's covered.
Oh, how?
Hey, hurry up.
Pal's right, okay. Let's help him, and don't worry, I've covered everything. Coming, pal. All right, Oakie. Al, this is the last of the lot. Into the lorry.
To me.
Fine. Now we close the door. And we're on our way.
Lumpy, up it, a copper. Run.
Stand still, you fools. Now, get into the lorry. I'll speak to him.
All right. Wait, wait.
Here now. What are you doing about here this time of night?
Oh, officer, I'm so delighted that you came along. Have you, your street directory with you?
Never mind, none of that now. I'll just take a look at what you got in the back of that there van.
Certainly, officer. You see? Boxes.
Ah.
My men just finished loading them.
Well, but this time...
Well, it was a special rush order. I had to come down myself in the middle of the night, the superintendent.
Ah.
Have you your street directory with you, officer?
Huh? Oh, yes, I have. Yes.
Can you direct me to Emmons Road East?
Emmons Road East? Well, let's see. Yeah, I have it right here. Straight out it is, and then a right turn on the avenue, and then you'll come to it. It'll be on your left.
Oh, thank you so much, officer. It's a very lucky thing for me that you have to come along. Good night, officer.
Oh, good night, sir.
All right, pal. Let's get underway. But slowly.
Almost died.
Me too.
I told you I had everything covered, Oakie. Now, why do you suppose we took our boxes over to the next building before bringing them onto the street?
I don't know. Why?
Because that building is a box factory. Now, what more natural than that boxes should be carried out from it?
For yourself, officer. They're just boxes.
Yes, boxes.
Well, let's celebrate. 1 year, Billy.
Whiskey. Neat.
Martini for me.
And me.
I'll go on, too.
Then I'll join in.
Well, that's to cheer things up a little. You came in with a face like fate, Mr. Kellerman.
I've had a funny feeling about this job. Never liked it from the start. I've got all the stuff away. I've collected my dough. But still, I've got a feeling.
Well, chase it off with this. Go on, drink up.
Oh, it's nervous reaction, that's all.
If I knew more about you, I'd feel safer.
I wonder if you would.
What do you mean by that?
Come on. Your very good health.
Cheers.
Look, why don't you open up a bit? I never did like working in the dark.
Well, then, to the next time, Governor.
Mud in your eyes.
Here's to crime and research.
What?
All right, then, plain crime.
Long legs to the baby.
Now, then, the money.
How have you brought it?
500 in each packet. Here you are.
Well, here's your spell.
Thanks, Cup.
Doesn't say so much money.
If you say things like that, I shall be conscience-stricken.
If the coppers could only see us now, eh?
Oh, Daisy, this is for you.
Oh, I didn't expect this.
Well, that's for being a good girl.
Oh, it's ever so nice of you. I'm going to kiss you for it.
Yeah, Daisy.
Daisy, you'll embarrass our friends.
Oh, don't mind us.
You count out your own, okay? Daisy, put the rest in my bag, will you?
Yes, dear.
You trust me, don't you?
I do.
Could you be easing off now?
Yes.
How long for?
Well, I don't know quite.
I thought perhaps you might be.
Well, everything appears to be settled. I'll just make a call and be on my way.
Best thing for everyone is to keep quiet for a bit.
Yes, stay around and act normally. Hello. Yes, it is. Telephone immediately and say I'll be there in 20 minutes. Then I'll come straight back. That's all. Goodbye. I'm afraid I'll have to be getting along.
Aren't you going to set a time to make for the next job, Governor?
No, okay, not now.
Well, I can let everybody know when you're ready.
Of course. Well, you'll have to excuse me, I'm afraid.
Why, hey, ever knew the one before you go.
No, thanks. No, I really must be getting along. Goodbye, Mr. Kellerman.
Right.
Cheerio, pal.
So long, Gov.
Goodbye, Oakie. You backed me up splendidly. Daisy, my dear. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bit of an hurry, wasn't he?
Oh, well, he's got his own friends.
Oh, he opted quick.
Yes. You know what he's doing?
He knows what he's doing.
It looks to me like he's dropping you.
Dropping me?
All of you.
Not him.
You'll see.
Oh, he's all right. I'll take me off on that.
Well, I want to know a bit more about him. Where's that screwdriver?
Is this it?
Yes, thanks, Oakie.
What are you doing?
Taking this dialing plate off a telephone. He always telephones someone before he goes. He isn't the only clever one.
Well, what are you after, Betty?
I don't like the look of this.
No, me neither.
I know what I'm doing. There. It's off. You see this? It's a little scriber I put underneath the plate. When the dial spun, the scriber marked it and clicked back a notch. I can tell now what number he called.
Penny.
Here, Benny, are you ringing the same number?
I am.
I wish you wouldn't, Benny.
Looks too tricky to me.
Why don't you lay off it? It can't do any good.
You leave this to me. Hello? Doctor who's resident? Oh. Sorry, wrong number. Now I know.
You know who he is?
Yes. Yes, I do. Now I'll have a bit of fun.
In a moment, Act Two of The Amazing Dr. Clitterhouse, starring Sir Cedric Hardwick. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company. Now, Act Two of the Best Plays production of The Amazing Dr. Clitterhouse, starring Sir Cedric Hardwick. Here again is John Chapman.
So now what's going to happen? Rather a clever idea, I thought, for Benny to put some kind of marking machine he calls a scriber under the telephone dial to make a record of a number called. I know a man who can beat that trick, though. He's a box office man in one of our Broadway theaters. He can tell what number is being called just by listening to the dial clicking around and counting the clicks. This may sound more fantastic than Benny Kellerman's little trick, but it's nothing to what a good box office man can do. Every evening, for instance, along about the second act of a play, the treasurer counts up. He has to make a report on the number of tickets sold, the amount of money taken in, and the number of tickets left unsold. He takes the unsold tickets out of the rack, makes a smooth pile of them, holds them up to an ear, and ripples through them with his thumb. I've got a deck of playing cards here, and I'll try to let you hear about what he hears. I take the deck, hold it up, and run my thumb across an edge like this. Can you count how many cards there are? I can't. But a box office treasurer can, and that's the way he counts the number of tickets left unsold. he may pause for a split second now and then to let his brain catch up with his thumb, like this. But he doesn't make mistakes. But let's find out now what is happening in our play. Dr. Clitterhouse has got himself into Benny's little mob by saying, I'm not a narc, and I'm not coming the old soldier. I've got a daffy of sparklers, and I want to flash them. I love that line. I don't know what it means, because Humphrey Bogart would never talk like that. But it has a pleasant underworld sound to it. So Clitterhouse is in the mob, and the clever Benny with his scriber has found out who Dr. Clitterhouse is. It is early evening, a week later. Benny Kellerman has not attempted to get in touch with Dr. Clitterhouse during this interval. Benny Kellerman is too smart to rush quickly into something that means so much to him. He has spent his time learning everything he can about the respectable Dr. Clitterhouse. And now, only now, he sits in the waiting room of Dr. Clitterhouse's office while Nurse Anne goes into the consulting room.
Oh, Doctor, can you see someone?
Who?
A Mr. Benjamin.
Patient?
You've never attended him, but he says it's rather urgent.
I do have some writing to do.
Your notes, Doctor?
Yes, you know, I've discovered some things which should prove interesting. Highly interesting.
I've always been so afraid that you'd be caught.
I've been very careful.
But I've always known when you were doing something.
Have you? How?
Well, I could tell.
Oh? Have you noticed anything recently?
You've been very anxious to see the papers.
I have, haven't I? Yeah, there's an acknowledgement in this one. Just there. Got it?
Receipt for £7,000. Anonymous. Police orphanage?
The prisoner's aide had another lot, but I thought that was rather selfish of me.
In case you ever needed their assistance.
Well, that was the idea.
Don't you think you've done enough now? Can't you give it all up?
I haven't quite decided.
I should feel much happier.
Why, it doesn't affect you, nurse.
Yes. Sometimes you appear so tired.
Well, late night.
You fagged out in the morning.
Well, I'll turn in tonight anyhow, as soon as I'm rid of this chap in the waiting room. Send him in, will you, nurse?
Very well, Doctor. Mr. Benjamin, the doctor will see you now.
Thank you. Kellum.
Hello, Dr. Clitterhouse.
Perhaps you wouldn't mind telling me how you come to be here.
Through a little idea of my own. You're not the only fly one. So, you're a proper doctor, are you?
Does anyone else know who I am?
No. I've kept it to myself. So far.
And what do you want?
Well, when I know what your game is, then I'll know how safe you are.
Or putting it more clearly, how safe you are.
Have it that way, if you like. You're a doctor. Unless you got yourself into trouble, you don't have to steal.
Oh?
What's all this medical stuff you've been putting across? Taking samples of blood and all that? Come on, open up. What's the game?
Well, I don't mind explaining since you're here. You see this book? It's almost filled with, let's call them my medical notes.
What are they for?
I intend them as the basis of a book, which may in some measure reveal why crooks are crooks and why they continue to be crooks.
It don't make sense to me. Here, what's in this book over here?
Notes on everything that I've done.
About the big job, for instance?
Yes, that's included.
I always knew you were dangerous. Suppose the cops got hold of these notes.
Well, that's very unlikely.
But they'll see this other book when you've written it.
I hope it will assist them.
Yes, assist them to come down on you and me. They'll ask you a million questions. You don't know the cops like I do. Here, let's have a look at that notebook.
Now, be careful what you're doing, Kellerman.
I've got it. Think I'm like the others, afraid of you? We'll just have a look at this notebook.
I doubt if you'll understand it.
There's something here, though. He hit the officer during escape about 8:45. 9:15, officer reported killed. P immediately subjected to laryngeal spasm. I can't make out the rest. What is it, Latin?
Shall I explain it?
There's no need. Any copper could work out the meaning of this for himself. Do you know what you've written here?
Yes, I think so.
Enough to send us down for 5 years apiece. P for pal. 8:45 was the time of that snatch job when we slugged the copper. He thought he'd done that copper in. And every busy in London knows a pal's voice goes when he's scared. It'd be on this like lightning.
Nothing of the sort will appear in the book itself.
How do I know that?
Give me back that book, Kellerman.
Not bloody likely.
You hear what I say?
I shan't sleep till I've seen this burnt.
Burnt?
You bet it'll be burnt. You think I'm going to let you walk out on us and keep this?
Give that to me, Kellerman, immediately.
You try and get it.
That book is very important, Kellerman. I am not going to see my work destroyed by you.
It's a long sight more important to me. Have you ever thought I could give the office about you? I've got myself covered, see? And they can't touch Daisy. She's only done a bit of minding now and then.
Oh, you mean you're thinking of giving me away to the police?
It only wants a word.
I see.
You've been picking the jobs. Now I'll pick them for you.
What do you mean by that?
I've got my eye on a bank.
Oh. Are you suggesting I should break into it?
I'm telling you. And I'll give you 20% of what you take.
Rather harsh terms, Mr. Kellerman. Does Oki know you mean to suggest them?
No, but if you try any funny business, I'll shop you.
I'll turn you in and the whole lot will go inside with you.
I think I understand you.
And I haven't finished yet. I didn't make so much off those furs as I ought to have done,
didn't you?
You wouldn't want to see me lose on the job, would you? Not if you could pass me back $1,000 or so to put me right.
Oh, so you lost on it, did you?
It just occurred to me.
Yes, you're making yourself quite clear now.
I thought I was. Awkward for you, isn't it?
Yes, a little perhaps. Kellerman, do you realize the position into which you're trying to force me?
Trying? I know where I've got you. We'll talk about that bank job at the club tomorrow night. Not at the flat. You keep away from Daisy, see? All right. Now, I think I'll have a drink.
I was about to suggest one.
Kellerman, do you seriously mean all you've said?
You try and cross me.
Well, I only wanted to know.
You be sensible and there won't be no hard feelings.
Well, it seems better to be as friendly as possible for the time we're together. Soda?
Not for me.
Yeah.
Well, it's like...
I have this send-down special from Scotland. How do you like it?
It's a bit, I don't know, got a full flavor. It'll do, though.
You know, Kellerman, I've just realized that my book would hardly have been complete.
Yeah. You're not likely to write it now, are you?
No. You see, I've secured data on various types of criminal activity, but so far I've overlooked a major interest.
Oh, yes?
You see, I don't know anything at all about the reactions associated with the greatest crime of all.
What's that?
Why, disposing of someone.
You mean doing somebody in?
That would complete the book.
And it would complete you, too. You can't get away with murder.
Well, I rather think I could, you know.
How?
Well, I should make my victim unconscious, but I shouldn't actually end his life until I was quite ready to dispose of him.
Wouldn't you?
No, no, that would be much too dangerous. I should put him in the back of my car, under some rugs, perhaps. Then I should drive down to Burnham on Crouch. I have a bungalow there which backs onto the river. I should put him into a punt. Then I should go out to midstream, but I shouldn't drop him overboard until I was absolutely certain that I had not been observed and that I was quite safe.
Here I am.
And being unconscious, he would drown. The coroner's verdict would be simply found drowned. No marks, no violence, nothing.
Here I am. I feel sleepy.
Of course you do, Mr. Kellerman. Do you remember the full taste in your whiskey? I emptied a file of heroin tablets into your first glass.
Yeah.
12 of them. A full grain.
Sleep, I...
You see, you created an impossible situation, Mr. Kellerman. You forced me to do it. Well, we'll be going to Burnham on Crouch, Mr. Kellerman.
Dr. Peterhouse residence? Oh, yes, Mr. Davidson. I'm afraid it's hardly possible for you to see the doctor this evening, unless it's very urgent. Oh, yes. 9:45 in the morning would be fine. Goodbye.
Good evening, miss.
Good evening, doctor.
Where's the news?
Right here, doctor. I thought you might want to see it.
Oh, why?
There's a picture in it. A picture that's been troubling me, doctor. Look. Isn't that the man who called himself Mr. Benjamin?
Yes.
The paper calls him Benny Kellerman. Isn't he the fence you once said you were going to see?
Ah, you remember.
Doctor, I saw him here 2 evenings ago.
That's right, nurse.
He's been missing since he came here.
Yes, he has, hasn't he?
They found him. Found his body in the River Crouch.
Found drowned, eh?
Doctor, he was not found drowned.
He was.
Read what it says there. The police are investigating. The paper says that he was dead before he went into the River Crouch. Whatever you gave him was too much for him.
Aren't you letting your imagination get the better of you, nurse?
I don't think I am. Did you take him to Burnham?
Yes, you don't realize what you're saying.
Do you realize that they'll trace him to you?
They can't possibly do that.
Did you kill him?
Nurse, I don't want...
Did you?
Yes. I did. I had to. He was blackmailing me, forcing me to go on.
Oh, good Lord.
Everything had been all right, then suddenly it got out of hand.
I can't believe it.
It was impossible to me.
You did give him the heroin.
What do you know about the heroin?
When I came back from Nurse Harvey's that night, the file on your desk was empty. You'd gone out. You didn't come home until after 2 o'clock in the morning. I waited here until then. I felt there was something wrong.
I see.
You did give him the heroin, didn't you?
Yes. I examined him before I went out on the river. He was alive then.
You meant to drown him. But he must have died on the boat.
Well, I didn't examine him again.
Why didn't you stop before this? Why didn't you? Why didn't you?
You're being hysterical, nurse.
You and your precious book. You must destroy it. You see that, don't you? If there's the least suspicion, your notes will give you away.
But nothing can be traced to me.
How do you know? You've made one slip already.
Yes. He was not found drowned.
Going to Burnham. That was another.
I don't think so.
You may have made a third.
No. You know, we're frightening each other, aren't we, nurse? Listen, there is absolutely nothing that will link Kellerman with myself.
How is it that he came here? You didn't tell him who you were, surely.
No, I don't know how you found that out.
If he could find it out, someone else could.
I don't think so.
But you haven't really thought about it at all until now, have you? You haven't been thinking clearly, Doctor. You were not able to think. Oh, why didn't I act differently at the beginning? Why didn't I get a psychiatrist in?
Oh, don't be absurd.
You've been overworking. You were overwrought. I realize it now.
Nurse, please.
You were just like a patient who won't give in. Forcing a new interest to keep yourself going.
You're talking nonsense. I'm just the same as I've always been.
I could have stopped all this. And now I'm so frightened for you. So frightened.
How the devil did you get this number?
Kellerman. He did some monkey shines with a phone at Daisy's place and found out your number.
I see.
I called, Governor, because I just heard from a steward that the coppers have your phone number, too.
How did they have got it?
From Kellerman's pocket when they fished him out of the river.
Oh, I see. Okay. Listen, don't stop for anything. Get away now and look after Daisy. Don't stay talking to me. Get away now. Good luck. And good luck to Pal. Goodbye, Oakie. Devil.
Hello?
Sir William?
Speaking.
Oh, Sir William, this is Dr. Clitterhouse. I'm wondering if you're busy at the moment.
No, not at all.
Could I see you?
Delighted. What's it all about, Clitterhouse?
Oh, tiresome legal sort of thing. This is a criminal matter, Sir William.
Really?
Yes, so could I just step across the way and have a word with you?
Fine, certainly. But I was just going out. Why don't I pop into your place?
Well, that'll be fine. Thank you, Sir William.
Now, Clitterhouse, what roguery have you been up to, eh?
Well, it's not myself.
In court splitting fees?
It's rather more serious than that, Sir William.
Oh, it is, eh?
Yes. A friend of mine has got himself in rather a mess. A medical friend.
Well, what's he done?
Well, Sir William, he had the idea of trying to secure data on the nervous reaction of, crooks.
Oh, yes.
He felt their experiences must have a definite influence not only upon their psychology, but upon their physique.
I think I follow you.
He wanted, among other things, to work out the medical reasons for it by tests and close observation while the crooks were actually at work.
Interesting. There might be something to it.
He found that there was.
He's been carrying out this investigation?
Yes.
Did you say while crooks were actually at work?
I did.
How did he manage that?
Well, he simply went amongst the crooks.
Fraternized with them?
Joined them, Sir William.
Good heavens, are you suggesting that he resorted to criminal practices?
Well, he had to find out what he wanted to know.
Oh, did he?
He worked alone at first on small burglaries. Then he met a receiver, another man, and between them, they did some quite reasonably clever jobs.
And he's involved himself, I suppose.
He has. Some of the burglaries they committed were what the newspapers call sensational.
And your medical friend was in them?
Yes, collecting data.
Collecting data? Did I understand you to say he jeopardized a medical practice to do this?
Yes.
What happened to the proceeds of the burglaries?
Well, the crooks had their share, and he gave most of his away anonymously. His object was research, you see.
I don't know that I do see quite. I suppose it has got rather beyond him, is that it?
Yes. He kept his identity secret, and then one of them found out who he was and tried to blackmail him.
That was inevitable.
My friend's notes were then practically complete. Well, he didn't want to go on, only this man tried to force him to continue.
And then?
Then he suddenly realized that he'd studied various types of criminal activity from burglary to well-organized robbery, but he lacked data on the ultimate crime.
Not murder?
Yes.
And he has?
He has. In fact, he was obliged to.
You mean he removed the blackmailer?
Yes.
So he has his last chapter.
In every detail.
And he's now afraid that the police will be after him.
Yes, William, he does appreciate that contingency.
Look here, Clithouse, are you stating a hypothetical case, or as though this actually happened?
Well, let's assume that it has actually happened. What would be his chances of getting off?
Oh, it isn't a matter of chance at all.
Isn't it?
Oh, he would get off.
What? Why?
Well, because the man's as mad as a hatter.
Good Lord.
Well, it's obvious.
And he'd get off?
Well, the facts being stated by you, I'd stake my reputation on it.
Stake your reputation?
It wouldn't be worth bringing him to trial.
But he's not mad, Sir William.
He may not go about with straws in his hair, but he's not sane, and therefore he's not responsible.
But what about his book?
Well, that might be quite coherent and perfectly sensible. He probably goes about and acts like anybody else.
Just like you and I.
Yes. And you'll have to do something about it, you know.
What do you mean?
You're an accessory after the fact. I take it that you've obtained this information confidentially, but you can't keep it to yourself.
Of course,
you think your friend must be restrained. I suggest that you ought immediately to inform the proper authorities. I don't want to propose any breach of confidence, but does it happen to be anyone whom I know?
Yes.
Indeed? Who?
Me.
Good heavens! You...
Hello, Charlie.
Hello, old man. Good evening, Sir William.
Good evening, Inspector.
Sergeant Bates, come in.
Yes, sir.
Sergeant, do you recognize this man?
Yes, sir. This is the man I saw in Kellerman's Club about 4 months ago.
Ah, you remember me.
I do.
What is this, Charles?
Claire, I wonder if you'd mind coming down to the yard with me, if you're not too busy.
Yes, we promised ourselves an evening out, didn't we?
What have you been up to, old man?
Doctor, I don't think I should say very much.
All right, Sergeant, you can wait in the hall.
Very good, sir.
You know why I'm here, don't you, Clint?
Yes, I know.
Benny Kellerman.
Yes.
Is this an arrest, Charles?
No. We just want to ask a few questions.
Well, don't be so upset about it. Everything's all right, isn't it, Sir William?
Perfectly.
Sir William, would you mind taking charge of this?
What is it?
All my notes.
Clint, what is all this about?
Well, I thought it was because he was blackmailing me.
And was he?
Not quite sure now. As far as I can make out, he was helping me to write a book.
Will you come along now, old man?
Of course. Sir William, may I retain you to represent me?
Naturally, my friend.
You won't forget, will you, Sir William? Your reputation is at stake. I shall be very upset if you lose it. Ready, Charlie.
You have just heard the Best Plays production of The Amazing Dr. Clitterhouse, starring Sir Cedric Hardwick. And here once more is your host, drama critic John Chapman.
I imagine you can understand now why Broadway wanted to see Hardwick as often as possible after having had a look at him as Dr. Clitterhouse. Thank you, Sir Cedric, for bringing this play back to us. Thank John Stanley for being Benny Kellerman. Thanks to all the good players who have rallied around to our support. Next week, we shall meet several very different characters. They are all quite normal, really, but they do have the oddest names. For instance, there are the gentleman in gay braces and the lady in spectacles. There are a crocus gatherer, a lady in buttoned boots, and even a lady who has lost her underwear. All these people are in a comedy by C.L. Anthony titled Autumn Crocus. It's about a holiday resort in the Austrian Tyrol. The proprietor of this happy establishment, the gentleman in gay braces, will be played by Walter Slezak. And the lady in spectacles will be Carmen Matthews. The first time I saw Slezak, back a long time now, he was wearing gay braces in another Tyrolean idol, Jerome Kern's Music in the Air. The last time I saw him was just the other night, on another visit to the Broadway success, My Three Angels, in which Slezak is the head angel. And if anybody ever looked like a cherub, he does. I think we shall enjoy Autumn Crocus next week. And this is Chapman saying goodbye until then.
Dr. Clitterhouse was transcribed and adapted for radio by Robert Sandella. Heard in the cast were John Stanley as Benny Kellerman, Alfred Shirley as Sir William, Horace Braham as Inspector Charles, Joan Peel as Nurse Anne, Ivor Francis as Opie, Kathleen Cordell as Daisy, Guy Spall as Pal, Richard Newton as Sergeant Gates, and Burford Hampton as the constable. Best Plays is an NBC production supervised by William Welch and directed by Edward King. Your announcer is Fred Collins. Coronation Day address of Queen Elizabeth II to her subjects on Tuesday will be broadcast in the USA by NBC. Following the coronation ceremonies in Westminster Abbey, Britain's new queen will return to Buckingham Palace from the balcony on which she will address the millions jamming the streets of London on that historic day. The program will be introduced by George Hicks, a member of the team of top NBC correspondents assigned to cover the coronation, who will review the day's highlights. Following this, Prime Minister Sir Winston Churchill will extend his greetings to the Queen. She will then address her loyal subjects. Remember, all of the colorful pageantry of the coronation will be brought to you on NBC.
This is Eddie Cantor wishing you a nice weekend. Do you want to make sure you'll be back on Monday? Drive carefully. Don't get killed.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.